from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
the news first, the headline. Organizing high-level forum on multi-stakeholder partnership 2024 and second Indonesia-Africa forum strengthen Indonesia's brand image in Africa. Rwandan president and Liberian minister of agriculture admire Indonesia's agricultural performance. Those are the headlines, now the news in detail. Indonesia is the host of the 2024 High-Level Forum on Multi-Stakeholder Partnership, or HLF-MSP, and the second Indonesia-Africa Forum, or IAF, succeeded in becoming a very effective promotional tool in strengthening Indonesia's brand image. In the press conference of the HLV-MSP 2024 and the second IAF at the Bali Nusa Dua Convention Center, Bali, on Tuesday, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy and Head of the Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, said he had increased economic partnerships with non-traditional markets, especially Africa, in accordance with Indonesian President Joko Widodo's direction. He explained the ministry has explored cooperation in tourism and creative economy with several countries in Africa, with the cooperation that is being explored both before and during the implementation of HLF-MSP 2024 and the second IAF, the minister hopes tourism will get great benefits, especially from higher hotel occupancy rates, with longer stays, and of course, greater spending from African foreign tourists, so it will further contribute to driving the country's economy. Indonesia's plan to share 5,000 doses of monkeypox or mpox vaccine with African countries is a form of diplomacy. This was said by Indonesian Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin after a panel discussion session, the second Indonesia-Africa Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali on Tuesday. Budi Gunadi explained he had agreed on a number of health cooperation related to mpox with the Director General of Africa's Public Health Institution, Jan Kaseya. The cooperation includes a grant of 5,000 doses that are planned to be purchased from Japan. It is said Indonesia doesn't yet have the ability to make the mpox vaccine, and the vaccine is only available in two countries, namely Japan and Denmark. Indonesia, through the Ministry of National Development Planning, has strengthened bilateral cooperation with Solomon Islands and Democratic Republic of Congo. Minister of National Development Planning and Head of National Development Agency, Suharto Monoarfa, after bilateral meetings with Solomon Islands and Democratic Republic of Congo in Badung, Bali on Tuesday, said Indonesia has been supporting and cooperating with countries in the Pacific region for almost 10 years, and it will continue. Since 2018, Indonesia, through the ministry, has provided support in the form of various development programs in the field of sports, health, and education in Solomon Islands. Some of them include the construction of multifunctional stadiums handling the COVID-19 pandemic and capacity building in the field of fisheries. Next, we have Indonesian government offers China the development of derivative products or downstreaming in the coal sector, such as quality improvement, coal briquettes, coke making, and liquid coal to spur decarbonization while reducing greenhouse gases. Quoting Antara State News Agency's report, in his statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, Bambang Suswantono, Acting Director General of Minerals and Coal at the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, said The offer is part of Indonesia's commitment to reduce the greenhouse effect target in national development as a ratification of the Paris Agreement by gradually reducing coal consumption and developing it in other forms. Bambang explained, coal can be processed into derivative products both as industrial raw materials and energy sources. 8 delegates from ASEAN countries participated in the marketing and operational working group session at the 44th ASEAN Railway CEOs event in Bandung, West Java, Indonesia on Tuesday. A number of topics were raised by each delegation, from the application of digital technology, development of railway human resources, digital marketing, service transformation, to the application of high-tech railways such as fast trains. National Railways Delegate Philippines Shante Juan Monera, in her presentation, said Philippine National Railways continues to improve management, modernize facilities, and increase its operational efficiency in the face of various challenges that have been faced over the years. The 44th ASEAN Railway CEOs Conference took place in Indonesia on September 2nd to the 5th, 2024. Rwandan President Paul Kagame and Liberian Agriculture Minister Alexander Nueta admired the performance of Indonesia's agricultural sector in increasing productivity amid prolonged drought due to the El Niño phenomenon. Paul said this when he was about to leave Indonesia to return to his country after participating in a series of Indonesia-Africa Forum activities. Similarly, Liberia's Minister of Agriculture, Alexander Nueta, also admired the Indonesian government's efforts in improving agriculture. Alexander said Indonesia's agriculture has developed tremendously, especially in the application of mechanization technology towards modernization. Alexander hopes Indonesia will send its food experts to assist the development of agriculture in his country. We end the news with former United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who said on Tuesday, South Korea needs to continue to persuade China to understand the unification of the two Koreas will not contribute to world peace, but also benefit China's interests. Ban made the remarks at the Global Korea Forum, a global forum organized by the Unification Ministry and designed to gain international support for South Korea's efforts towards peaceful unification. The former diplomat also stressed the need for South Korean officials to convince the Chinese government that the South Korea and United States alliance is not a threat and will ultimately benefit peace and stability in the region. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's commentary is about Pope Francis' visit to Indonesia. Leader of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis began his visit to Indonesia on Tuesday. He will be in Indonesia until September 6. His Indonesian visit is part of Pope Francis' tour of the Asia-Pacific region. After Indonesia, he will visit Timor-Leste, Papua New Guinea, and Singapore. For Indonesia, Pope Francis' visit is the first by leader of the world Catholic since Pope John Paul II visit in 1989. This is Pope Francis' furthest travel, and it must be very tiring given his 87 years of age. However, this is not Pope Francis' first visit to a Muslim-majority country. He has previously visited Iraq, Bahrain, Turkey, and Morocco. The Indonesian people welcomed Pope Francis' arrival with enthusiasm and hospitality. The Pope and his entourage witnessed Indonesia's hospitality for themselves, from the airport to the Vatican Apostolic Nunciature to Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, Pope Francis is welcomed by President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace. On Thursday, the Pope is scheduled to visit the Istiqlal Mosque in Jakarta, the largest of its kind in Southeast Asia. On that occasion, Pope Francis will sign a joint declaration with the Grand Imam of Istiqlal Mosque, focusing on dehumanization, especially the spread of violence and conflict, as well as environmental degradation. On the same day, the Pope will lead a mass which is expected to be attended by around 85,000 people at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium in Jakarta. Pope Francis' visit is significant for Indonesia, even though Catholics are not the majority in the country. The Pope's willingness is to make the longest journey and to make Indonesia its first stopover is recognition that Indonesia is important to the Vatican. The welcome of the Indonesians shows the world that there is harmony and tolerance among religious communities. Indonesia can show that despite different ethnicities, cultures, and religions, the Indonesian people can live in harmony and unity. That's the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
We begin today in history with the founding of Google on September 4, 1998 by two Stanford students. On September 4, 1998, Google LLC was officially founded by Larry Page and Sergey Brin while they were still PhD students at Stanford University. With a vision to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful, Google started as a private company with the two founders holding a 16% ownership share. Moving on to National Customer Day in Indonesia, which was commemorated on September 4, 2003. National Customer Day is commemorated as a tribute and appreciation of the important role customers play in the success of businesses and services. National Customer Day is commemorated every September 4th and was first initiated in 2003 by entrepreneur Handi Irawan and officially recognized by Indonesia's fifth president, Megawati Soekarnoputri. National Customer Day reminds the importance of providing the best service to customers, listening to their feedback, and maintaining strong and positive relationships. All of this not only strengthens customer loyalty, but also provides a solid foundation for sustainable business growth. We end today in history with London Conference declared September 4, 2004 as International Hijab Solidarity Day. In the early 2000s, the British government, specifically in London, implemented a ban on students and others from wearing any religious symbols, including hijab, in public spaces. As a result of this regulation, a wave of protests ensued, particularly by Muslim women who are obligated to wear hijab. In response to these widespread protests, the London conference was held on September 4, 2004, attended by 300 delegates from 102 organizations in the United Kingdom and 35 other countries. The outcome was that Muslim women were allowed to continue wearing the hijab in public. This date was then officially designated as International Hijab Solidarity Day. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's My Indonesia is about pushing economic development with clean tech via Indonesia-Canada cooperation. The Indonesian government kept strengthening cooperation with Canada, one of which was by encouraging economic development with clean technology. This was one of the focus of the visit of the Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economy, Airlangga Hartarto, to Vancouver, Canada on September 1, 2024. Quoting the ministry's website econ.go.id, Airlangga hunted for Canada's clean technology to accelerate energy transition in Indonesia. Minister Airlangga met with an exchange outlook with businessmen who developed clean economy and technology in Canada, Westport Fuel Systems, Chop Value, Foresight Cleantech Accelerator, and SFU International during the business roundtable. Indonesia was also ready to open economic cooperation for mid- and long-term cooperation. In a press release on September 3, 2024, the Secretary of the Coordinating Ministry for Economy, Susi Wiono Mugiarso, said the cooperation between Indonesia and Canada in clean energy and technology can include several mutually beneficial strategic initiatives. The first is cooperation in development and application of renewable energy technology. Second, Indonesia and Canada can collaborate in waste management and recycle projects. This cooperation can include modern recycle facility development, wastewater management, community education on recycling, and development of circular economy supporting policies. Indonesia and Canada also agreed to cooperate in research projects and in the development of synergizing human resources and expertise from universities, research institutes, and private sector. The two also created the joint search and development projects that may include the development of alternative fuel, emission reduction tech, and solution for enhancing energy efficiency in various industrial sectors. Indonesia has a great potential as a field for cleantech, so there is an urgent need to adopt it immediately. In the development of renewable energy, Indonesia is estimated to have a potential of up to 443.2 gigawatts more, sourced from solar, wind, water, and biomass energy. Even now, the Indonesian cleantech startup ecosystem is growing rapidly. There are around 300 clean tech startups operating. That's today's My Indonesia from Voice of Indonesia.
Bayangkan bila kau sebagai yang tak kasat mata, tak dapat disentuh walau kau bisa menyentuhnya. Tak dapat dirasa walau seluruh ragamu di sana. Dapat kau menjaganya tanpa harus mengurungnya.
Bayangkan sebagai yang tak kasat mata.
Bayangkan bila kau sebagai yang tak kasat mata. Abu yang berterbangan tak dapat melukaimu. Panasnya surya bahkan membuatmu terbuai dan berlagu. Dan kau dapat mengerti. sepi, rongga jiwa yang kosong. Yeah. Hidupmu bukan terisi dengan ajaran-ajaran. Melihat, mendengar dan merasakan nadanya yang terlantun dalam setiap nafas hidup manusia. Nafas hidup manusia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Banyuwangi Regency in East Java Province, Indonesia, that has many beautiful beaches. Some of them are used as surfing spots. One of these stunning beaches is Red Island Beach in Pesanggaran District, Banyuwangi Regency. The beach is named Red Island because of a small green hill with reddish soil located near the shoreline. This hill can be visited on foot when the tide is low. At Red Island, there's also a temple where Hindu followers perform their prayers or Makkiye ceremony. This tourism area is managed by Perum Perhutani Unit 2 East Java, South Banyuwangi. The name Red Island refers to a small hill on the beach about 200 meters high with red soil covered by green vegetation which masks its original color. Red Island Beaches has a 3-kilometer stretch of white sand and offers breathtaking natural views. However, the waves at Red Island are quite high, making it less suitable for swimming, especially for children. The high waves in this area make it an ideal spot for surfing enthusiasts. The waves at this beach range from 3 to 5 meters in height. According to local residents, tourists from France, Germany, and Australia often visit this beach to surf. Listener, in fact, Banyuwangi has already Plengkung Beach, famous among surfers for its waves. However, Red Island Beach has an advantage over Plengkung Beach because its waves are not too high, making it a destination for beginner, amateur, and professional surfers alike. Unlike Plangkong Beach or G-Land, which can only be enjoyed by professional surfers, Red Island is also more accessible with smooth roads and proximity to local settlements. The sandy beach with fewer rocks also makes it safer for surfers. In 2013, Red Island Beach hosted an international surfing competition. According to the Indonesian Surfing Association, international surfing competitions will help promote these tourist attractions to the world. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today from Voice of Indonesia.
Sedang sendiri, ku coba renungi, ingin apa aku ini? Tak pernah mengerti sampai kini ku sadari, aku tetap tak peduli, hanya aku jalani hidup ini. Pahami, semua orang pasti ingin dapat raih bahagia. Kalau hanya itu aku pun telah mengerti.
Kadang ingin pergi, kadang ingin sendiri. Sampai kini ku tak tahu pasti, aku hanya bisa bermimpi. Ku hanya ingin hidup bahagia, oh. Aku hanya bisa bernyanyi. Aku tak tahu apa yang ku cari di muka bumi. Oh, oh, yeah.
Aku lihat layang-layang dapat terbang tinggi, namun sesekali goyah dan ia jatuh lagi. Apa mungkin ku temui di hati yang kan ungkapkan segalanya suatu saat nanti.
Kadang-kadang ingin pergi,
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dear listeners, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak an Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the Overseas Service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Di Desa Budaya Suku Dayak. Di Desa Budaya Suku Dayak, which means in the Dayak Cultural Village. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled Wow. Wow, which means wow or ow. This conversation takes place between Chris, an Australian vlogger and a resident of Pampang Cultural Village, Samarinda City, in East Kalimantan. Chris expresses amazement when he sees a Dayak woman with long ears. Let's listen to their conversations.
Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu, sampai telinganya menjadi panjang.
Konon dalam masyarakat suku Dayak, wanita dengan telinga panjang itu cantik.
Apakah anak muda di sini masih melakukan tradisi itu?
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. I will pronounce it slowly. You can repeat it after me. Wow. Wow. Which means wow or ow. Banyak sekali. Banyak sekali. Which means that's a lot. Anting. Anting. Which means earrings. Ibu. Ibu. Which means mother or mom or woman or lady. Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Which means wow, that lady put on a lot of earrings. Telinga. Telinga. Which means ear. Panjang. Panjang. Which means long. Konon. Konon. Which means it was said or supposedly. Masyarakat. Masyarakat. Which means community or people. Suku Dayak. Suku Dayak. Which means Dayak tribe. Wanita. Wanita. Which means woman. Cantik, cantik, which means beautiful. Anak muda, anak muda, which means young man or young woman. Tradisi, tradisi, which means tradition. In the conversations, you hear the statement, wow, wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Which means wow, that lady put on a lot of earrings. In this sentence, there is an interjection wow. Wow, which means wow or ow, which functions as an exclamation of admiration and amazement. The word Wow, wow, which means wow or ow, is used by Chris to express his amazement at the number of earrings worn by a Dayak woman he met. Now, let's listen to other example of the use of interjection wow, wow, which means wow or ow to express amazement. Wow, megah sekali Candi Borobudur itu. Wow, megah sekali Candi Borobudur itu. Which means wow, how magnificent the Borobudur temple is. Wow, besar sekali Sungai Mahakam ini. Wow, besar sekali Sungai Mahakam ini. Which means wow, how big the Mahakam River is. The Dayak tribe on the island of Borneo has a tradition known as Telingaan Aru. The tradition involves lengthening the ears by using earrings as weight. In Dayak belief, a woman's beauty is not judged by her face, but by the length of her ears. Before closing, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more clarity, let's listen to the example conversations once again.
Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu, sampai telinganya menjadi panjang.
Konon, dalam masyarakat suku Dayak, wanita dengan telinga panjang itu cantik.
Apakah anak muda di sini masih melakukan tradisi itu?
Listeners, that was today's editions of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation entitled Wow, Wow, which means wow or ow. Hopefully, today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Daniel. Thank you for your attention. Sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Resapi, camkan dan jangan berhenti. Karena sebuah pertanyaan perlahan menghampiri, mendekat dan merusak sistem kerja otak kiri. Setiap detik berdetak, menusuk-nusuk di hati. Kembali teringat raut wajahmu di angan. Taburan cinta mengikuti sebuah senyuman. Yo, tapi dalam hati ini tak bisa ungkapkan. Nyaliku menciut, terlalu siang untuk diucapkan. Sekali lagi ku ingin kau mengerti. Rasa cinta ini sungguh sangat menyakiti. Tapi ku hanya makhluk yang tidak bermateri. Dipandang sebelah mata, tak punya reputasi.
Seakan
katakan aku suka padamu, namun cinta ini siksa jika aku gak ada kamu. Hendak jiwa kan mengikatmu di sisi, namun berat untuk mengucap, cukup untuk ku kagumi. A, B, C, D. Ku harap kau mengerti, semua ini bukan cerita narasi deskripsi. Hanya perasaan suka namun sulit hati berkata. Bukan fiktif sedikit naif, hanya sebuah realita. Cinta ini derita, ku harap kau juga merasa. Apa yang ku rasa tanpa banyak tanda tanya. Rasa ini fakta, selektif bukan posesif. Ku tak ingin berdusta, ku cinta kau bunga.
Seakan mataku tertutup, ku ingin cinta ini dapat kau sambut. Harapkan perasaan ini kau tahu, sungguh ku ingin kau jadi.
Bagai sebuah media, cinta berlepas dirahi tanpa ada ikatan jiwa dan raga. Kalian semua berbeda, pandanganku takkan pernah sama. Mirip hati cintanya dengan pandangan tak sama. Bukan yang menuduhku, bahkan memfonis diriku salah. Kenapa yang ku cari dan ku rasa takkan menghasilkan apa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, next we present a song from Ternate, North Maluku, titled Nyong Manis. Nyong Manis was created by Pratik Spots. The lyrics tells about a woman who falls in love with a man who has a sweet smile and a thin mustache. The girl prays to God if the man does not have a partner, she is destined to be with him. Day and night, she always remembers the man. However, if it turns out that the man already has a partner, the feeling of love will be kept in the heart. Okay, listener, here's the song Nyong Manis by Sanza Soleman.
Of Indonesia.
Dulu katong baku kabar baik-baik. Dulu
cuma bilang rindu beta balik. Semakin kau mari ale, macam berubah. Yang beta rasa alesu mulai gas jauh. Beta deng rindu. Nona yang ngajar beta palapas palang-palang. Nona kas tunjuk beta hilang kabar untuk si pung sanang. Sudah jua terlalu banyak yang beta inginkan dari nona yang seng pernah tahu. Nona yang paksa beta parjadi sekarang. Sudah mimpi ini su hilang. Dolo bye bye ya lesu ke jauh. Iko jua si pung mau. Ini bahagia kaya si bilang. Beta su jaga si tinggal buang. Nona yang ngajar beta palapas palang-palang. Nona kas tunjuk beta hilang kabar untuk si pung sanang. Sudah jua seng pernah tahu beta pun susah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Selama deng cinta, beta su setia. Ding itu sing gampang parjaga. Semua berubah dan beta sukalah. Tagal nona yang kas patah. Semua kekurangan yang dari awal su terima. Kenapa jadi alasan kas tinggal beta? Semua ini bikin beta sadar. Nona sing tarima beta apa adanya.
pernah berubah, biarpun siapa dia, ini akan jual.